CJ, do you like playoff football?
It's okay.
Can never just cooperate with me.
Well,
Well,
sure.
let's go into the premise that you do like playoff football. Let's
Well,
pretend.
sure, yeah. Yeah.
You, this is your week to like playoff football and to be in the high desert.
I would actually agree with that.
You have four games to choose from. Four games, minimal driving. Well, I guess depending upon where you are in the high desert, Silver Valley might be.
Toronto could be a tough drive if you're coming out
I
from
guess that's true
Lucerne
too.
Valley or Apple Valley, maybe.
That's true too, but relatively so.
Sure.
The traffic up here, no matter where you go, is much better than, well, most of the time, much better
Yeah.
than going down the hill and having to deal with the construction in the pass and all that stuff.
Hesperia and Oak Hills are kind of almost off the freeway. It's very easy if you're driving up the hill and you're like, yeah, let's look on the see if there's a local high school football game going. Well, I don't know if that's really the case.
Yeah.
Silver Valley is closer to the freeway there. That could
It
possibly
is
see the
very close
lights
to
and
the
someone
freeway.
goes, what's going on?
So we are in the second round of CIF football playoff action, CIF Southern section. It always bothers me when people just say CIF, but I've
Yes,
just
it
come to
does.
it. I mean, it's technically not accurate because CIF is a whole nother different
Sure. Well, it does
body
fall
on
under
top of.
CIF,
Yeah, it's.
but
But I understand it. It bothered me at first. I can get over it now. People can call
it
it whatever.
still
I
bothers you.
probably. Like I just used it there, so
Sure.
I'm guilty as well. So whatever. But yeah, we got four playoff matches, games, I suppose if you want to call them that. If we're getting into semantics, which I
Whatever
apparently
you
am.
want it. Matchups, other contests, whatever.
And this is our first podcast in like 5 weeks or something like that. Sorry, we haven't done more. So we're sitting here talking on Wednesday, November 19th, I believe this is.
That is correct.
So we're 2 days out, or
Yeah.
yeah, 2 days out from the big games there, and
About this
we're
time in 2 days, I think I'd be getting ready to go grab something to eat, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Matt would be preparing for his game in some form or fashion.
yeah, certainly will.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about first? We got five teams, four games.
Four locations, they're all in the high desert.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got to go with the hot ticket. I believe it's the hot ticket.
Yeah, I think so. Which is?
Silverado, actually Silver Valley. No, I'm just kidding. Silverado at Oak Hills. One day Silver Valley will be the hot ticket.
CJ loves this Silver Valley team. We'll get to that in a little bit.
They
But we'll
are
talk about Silverado and Oak Hills first.
the other silver.
We hyped up the Serrano-Oak Hills game as the game of the millennium. Or at least that's what we called it a lot around the office.
Sure.
I can't remember if we said that on that podcast that we did, or I think we did on at least the video.
Yeah.
But I think this, it's there's not the ingrained rivalry as there is in the Serrano-Oak Hills series there, just because they've been playing each other so long and one's been trying to catch up to the other. But I think this could be a potentially a very good game, and I'll get into some of what I think about it first. But what do you think, CJ?
I think it has the potential to be a very good game too. I think one thing for Silverado, if they have Dana Jenkins, who's been out with a thumb injury, one of their safeties, they can have him back for this game. That's going to be huge to kind of combat some of that speed that the Oak Hills skill players present there.
Yeah, that's certainly a big weapon there. Supposedly, last we heard, he could come back by the semifinals, but maybe he'd be healthy enough. The original date was like, we heard was semifinals, but maybe he could be healthy enough for Oak Hills. And I think, it really depends upon how healthy he is. I wouldn't recommend coming back. It was a hand injury of some sort, which I guess as a defensive back, you could make do with one hand, I think. Like at least you could bat away passes and maybe catch a couple if you absolutely were in the right position to. But that's a kid that's a game breaker right there. I mean, if he played the entire season, I think he very well could be our defensive player of the year.
Yeah, definitely. He's a hard hitter and gets the ball pretty well. But yeah, I think really whoever wins this game, we'll be looking at a Palm Springs or a Hesperia team. I really think that who the winner of this game will be playing in the Eastern Division Championship game, I think, or has a very good chance to.
Yeah, so you think this is even the tougher matchup than the potential whatever is looming in the semifinals there?
I think so. I mean, Hesperia upset the number three team. I mean, Hesperia, I mean, I think you were at that Oak Hills game.
A talented Nordic Vista team and Serrano team are both on the other side of the bracket.
I mean, that could also very well likely be the winner of that could possibly also go to the championship game, considering how well Apple Valley played La Quinta. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just first-round matchup and everything like that. But, yeah, I think this game potentially really could be the a finalist here, whoever wins this here. I mean, not to overlook the Indians from Palm Springs or the Scorps or anything like that. So. Yeah.
I just think there are so many interesting storylines about it. Like, I think there's interesting matchups there.
Sure.
You know, both teams have kind of struggled to get out of the second round. Oak Hills obviously never has. And
yeah.
Silverado hasn't in a long time.
A few years. I mean, they haven't really... They have since, I think, really 2008 was really the last time they had that deep run, and that year was kind of a surprise almost. I mean, they I believe they finished the season 3-7. They went 0-6, I believe, in league in a very tough, I mean, in non-conference play. And then, you know, they ended up losing to Burroughs to finish in a three-way tie for first, and then, you know, upset that undefeated Hesperia team. But, yeah, I mean... You know, I mean, they do have a little playoff experience against each other, despite Oak Hills only being, I think this is their sixth year of existence and fifth year, I believe, in the Eastern Division.
Yeah, the two teams, they played a two-game series a couple years ago, so one game one year, one game the next year. And then that first year, what was that, 2011, I think?
Yes.
They played in the playoffs as well. So, and the two teams split that. I think I covered... both games. I definitely covered the regular season game. And Oak Hills, I mean, it wasn't like a crazy score, but I think Oak Hills, you know, pretty handily won. Like, it wasn't like they didn't score 40 points or anything, but, you know, they handily won. And that time, that Silverado offense was really struggling.
They was, jeez.
But the defense was good, and so they kept them in games.
Opportunistic.
And then, yeah, and then come the playoffs, that's exactly what the defense did. They, you know, shut down Oak Hills and Marshawn Koprich, and they went from there.
Yeah.
I think it was like a 16-7 win.
Something like that. And then they just couldn't, they just didn't have the weapons to, in that second round matchup against Summit there.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Nobody could at that point in the High Desert.
Yeah, they got really blown out in that one. But, yeah, so we have two teams that, you know, have struggled to get out of that second round, and that sort of cloud, I think, sometimes held over them. You know, two similar offenses in a lot of ways. You know, they both run the spread. You know, Silverado kind of a little bit different. They have a, you know, a tight end option there with Robert Evans, and that's not something Oak Hills does. You know, Silverado has a little more size, I think, on their offense. Both, yeah, all around on their offense, whereas Oak Hills is probably a little bit speedier.
Yeah. Faison Knight has been a very nice addition to them in the
backfield. Oh, yeah, where would they be without Faison? I mean, Faison's been outstanding, and from, you know, special teams, you know, returning punts and kicks, and to running back and all that, yeah, and has made some big plays on defense at times too. So it's a key player there. You know, I we haven't submitted our picks just yet, so I have time to completely do 180 and say, what, this podcast didn't happen. But I will probably lean toward Oak Hills. I think in terms of a pedigree, they've proven it throughout the season. They played the toughest schedule in the High Desert and came away, you know, basically flawlessly. Like, just, you know, a loss to Crespi and another loss that was a forfeit deal. You know, they actually won the game.
Yeah, against Thailand in their opener. But yeah, that Crespi has turned out to be a very quality game. They lost by two touchdowns, and if you follow those rankings that I believe Max Preps and Kel Preps both use, I believe Crespi has risen to above a 70 rating after winning the Tough Mission League this year.
Yeah, so Oak Hills, I think, just clearly has, you know, the pedigree. Like, they've proven it throughout the season. There's no reason to doubt them at this point. They're a fantastic team. Silverado has been pretty good. I mean, if you look at the ratings, they're considerably below Oak Hills. You know, Oak Hills is, what, like a 45, and Silverado, I think, is in the mid to high 20s?
Something like that. Yeah, so, they're 23.5.
Yeah, so low 20s. Low to mid. they've proven it. And you know, Silverado has had a good season, and they've done pretty well. But I mean, you look at like, you know, Oak Hills blows out a Los Osos team, where Silverado loses by 2 points, had a chance to win. I mean, I think that's still not like a bad loss.
No.
But you know, you're looking at the matchup, and you're trying to look at signs that are indicative of things when you're picking this, and that's why you have to go with Oak Hills. Now, ultimately, none of that matters.
Yeah.
Whatever happens Friday, that's what matters. But, you know, you're trying to use signs and things and read the tea leaves and
yeah.
You're making a pick. And so I would have to say Oak Hills is better. But, you know, maybe Silverado is peaking a little bit now. I mean, it's hard to ignore them putting up, 77 points in the first round?
Yeah, I mean,
Sam Taylor's been... So they dominated, in theory. Again, you know, you're just trying to make comparisons. In theory, they dominated a team that was closer competitively to them than Oak Hills did in the first round, because Oak Hills had a higher seed,
sure.
Or was seeded, and they just, you know, the offense did clearly whatever it wanted to, putting up, you know, what was it, 7 touchdowns in the first half, and
something like that.
And, you know, Oak Hills did, you know, what it was supposed to do. It did, you know, basically, well, not just as well, but I mean, they got the job
it's,
done.
It's clearly. The same thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're comparing, you know, common opponents. You know, Oak Hills beat Serrano. I mean, they pulled out that game, and then you know, Silverado put up the yardage.
Played okay against Serrano.
Couldn't manage to score really from the score there. I mean, 28-9. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, they put up over 400 yards of offense, which is point wise, it's not very indicative of how well you move the ball and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you know, they played Santiago close, but couldn't pull out the victory there. And Los Osos, who turned out to be maybe, you know, not as good as we thought they would be, possibly. I mean, they play in a tough baseline league still. But
my reading on that is probably Los Osos would be like in this final eight in the Eastern Division.
Sure, they'd be
competitive. I didn't see them play.
At least a first round opponent and everything like that. So.
Yeah, I didn't see Los Osos play, but, you know, just looking at scores and looking at schedules and things like that, like, I think that team could definitely compete pretty well in the Eastern Division if you just threw them in right now.
Sure, yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's not a completely bad loss, but, you know, it seems like Oak Hills just got the, you know, the better results as far as, you know, getting those wins against those tough teams. I mean,
yeah, so there's a lot of different things to look at. You know, I also look at the weather's probably going to be pretty bad on Friday night. It's probably going to be, I think I looked it up earlier this week, and it could be like in about the 40s by you know.
Oh, nice.
Game time or a little bit thereafter.
Crispy.
Yeah, so no, if it's cold, you can still pass it. The real question is, you know, wind and any precipitation. I didn't see any precipitation, so that obviously makes a difference. But if the running games are key, you know, I like Oak Hill's running game a lot more than Silverado. Silverado, you know, goes between a lot more, a lot different backs and has relied on the passing game a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you also look at the two defenses. Both defenses are really, really good. On paper, I think Silverado's defense is probably better, especially whenever you add in Dana Jenkins. You know, I think they're bigger. I think they're faster. I think they're more physical. But Oak Hills has gotten it done throughout the year. I mean, obviously, you know, we've just said so many stellar things about their season. The defense was definitely a part of that. I think both teams are averaging, they give up less than 2 touchdowns a game, less than 14 points.
Hmm.
So, you know, over the course of the season, Oak Hills has proven it. So, you know, what do you pick in this? You know, what gives? You know, obviously Oak Hills is at home. The difference between, you know, turf and grass, you know, that probably kind of comes into play a little bit.
Could, although Silverado probably, you know, being in that league, Barstow, Victor, and
I mean, I think it's just nice to
on.
It's nice to have your field and
sure.
have that sort of familiarity. What happens Friday night? You know, we'll see. I mean, obviously, whatever happened in the past is not going to completely dictate whatever happens. But you know, just going off of what has been the case in the past, I think I'd take Oak Hills. But you know, man, I don't know that I'd like to see a good game. I think it potentially could be, but you know. Sometimes these things work out in strange ways.
Yeah, you get that quick touchdown, that special teams touchdown early, and that kind of shuts it down.
Yeah,
that
turnovers are a big thing. If one team is turnover prone, you know, that could make all the difference in the world.
Turnovers and penalties.
Yeah, and both these teams at times have definitely had problems with penalties, so we'll see where that goes. Do you have a particular pick in this game?
You know, for some reason, I just feel like it's very tough to go against Oak Hills, just considering the resume as far as their wins. I mean, yeah. They've beaten Serrano, they've beaten San Gorgonio. I mean, they've gotten the job done. I mean, I think I give the slight edge to Oak Hills. I mean, Silverado has been competitive. I almost, being that I do have the 3-game lead, I do have the luxury of
holding of going that over with
the
me.
Upset victory. Oh yeah, baby! But you know, this could be the upset pick of the week here, possibly. I mean, I don't know if it's a big upset, but yeah, might go toward those Hawks. It might be their time. I don't know. I'm kind of torn right now. At least I have another 24 hours to pick, I believe. Probably another 21 hours. Probably a gun will. Well, no, I'm not gonna say a gun, but something could be put to my head. Choose, and I'll go. I'll flip a coin, and no, it's not gonna come down to that. But yeah,
you have the lead. You could.
I could. Yes. Yeah. Could be all over the board, but. But yeah, I mean, I think I would lean toward Oak Hills a little bit here on this, just with their pedigree and everything all right. So far.
CJ going out on a limb.
Well, I don't know. I'm very wishy-washy.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. We can move on and hopefully speed through these other ones a little bit. That one's our game of the week, so that one deserves to have a little more attention. Obviously, two prominent programs within the High Desert going at each other. That's a big deal. So we can talk about Serrano Nora Vista right now. What do you think?
I think that's going to be a very good game. Two power running teams, just old smash mouth football there. You know, both teams have a very good running back. You know, I was at the Norte Vista Barstow game. I don't think that Norte Vista, if they do pull out the win, will game against Barstow won't be really that indicative of how this game's going to look this Friday.
Yeah, this one, like you said, the two teams with running pedigree there, you know, that's interesting to watch because, you know, if you look at the first round of the playoffs, there were a lot of points scored and a lot of points scored through the air.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, both coaches from both teams, I believe, have been at both of their respective schools for more than 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, I believe they know each other a little bit. They probably know each other's games. Norte Vista has mainly been a team on the run, but they did show their past a little bit against Barstow, and they were pretty effective. But then again, you know, who didn't have success throwing the ball against Barstow? I mean, if you're at all efficient with your passing game.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it statistically, like, Norte Vista has, like, no passing game, at least throughout the season. I mean, maybe they've held off on some of that. Maybe they just... they didn't care, saving it for the playoffs, who knows. But, I mean, they complete, like, you know, in the 30s in terms of percentage of passes. I think they had less than 1,000 yards passing. Like, they clearly just don't put a lot of stock in it, at least, like I said, for the regular season. Maybe if a matchup comes up where they feel like that's a big-time thing they can exploit, they'll go for it.
But when Fred Hawley's their top tailback, when that guy's running over guy, running through the defense, I mean, you really don't need to pass the ball.
Nah.
You know, I mean, not only him. I mean, I believe they had four guys with at least 60 yards of rushing against Barstow. So, I mean, they do have other guys they can go to. They have that Andy Martinez, who I believe is their second back there, who can pick up yardage and with efficiency there. So,
yeah, and the thing too is that Serrano is not just a running team anymore. Like, clearly, you know, there are certain years whenever Serrano has the talent, and Ray will open up the playbook, and they'll go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, it's not complicated stuff. I mean, they're throwing it deep to Tanner Cornell an awful lot. Nobody's really stopped it yet. So.
No.
I don't know. Did you know? I mean, I guess Barstow probably really didn't pass much either, although they did get down early, so maybe they did.
They tried a few passes, but, I mean...
did you get a read on Norte Vista's secondary?
They were able to, I believe, get up and make some tackles. They didn't. I don't know if they had to do a lot of work. I mean, Barstow didn't have too many big gains there of any sort. I mean, shoot, I'm blanking on his name now. Number 9 for Barstow. They're running back. They're big back. Brandon Pierce. There we go. Brandon Pierce let out some big runs. But other than that, I mean, it was just the DBs, I don't think, really got a lot of – didn't have too much work up there. I mean, you know, Norte Vista was doing a good job of stopping Barstow at the line there and everything, meeting them there.
Yeah, so for that one, you know, I think I'm going to end up taking Serrano. Again, if you look back at the schedules and everything, seems like Serrano's been a little bit more proficient of a team. Although, you know, Norte Vista really just had that one big stinker against La Sierra, and I guess that was still kind of a shootout deal.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened exactly in that game.
Yeah, I guess, that you know, the word on the street was that Norte Vista had a little bit of the fumble-rooskies going on. But La Sierra, from what I heard, hear from another source, that they had a good quarterback, good running back, and that source didn't think that Hesperia had a prayer against La Sierra, but they proved differently there.
Yeah, which I suppose a good transition.
Why not?
Hesperia in the second round for the first time since 2008, right?
That's
right.
We
keep coming back to that 2008 season.
Yes, it was a magical, mystical year in the high desert. You know, there were, I believe there were three teams in the semis that year.
Barstow, Serrano.
And Serrano.
Lost to Citrus, so yeah.
Yeah, and you had at least four teams in the quarters that year with Hesperia making it to the quarters, and I don't think anybody else made the quarters, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think Rim did that year. They might have, but I'll have to. Who cares?
Palm Springs will be at Hesperia. Again, all these games are in the high desert, so no major traveling.
Not at all, except for Palm Springs. I believe they will
Well, if you're a high desert fan.
That's true.
Of football.
Palm Springs, I wonder if they come through the Lucerne Valley way or if they just come up the 10. I guess they just come up the 10 to the 15 in this case here, being that Hesperia is right off the freeway. But who cares? although, I don't know if I want to get stuck in that. We both live down the hill. We know about the late night camp in your car on the
bring a book. Cajon
Pass. Yes.
In a sleeping bag.
Yes. Get off at Cajon and take a nap. But yeah, anyways, back to football. Hesperia, were you completely surprised by the result last week?
I'm terrible at having expectations for a lot of things. So I guess I didn't... You know, I feel like Hesperia... I didn't pick them. So, you know, I can't like come out and like front run this thing and say, I had them all the way. I had a little tickle in my gut saying that, you know, Hesperia's, they've surprised people all year long. Maybe they're a little bit better than we give them credit for. You know, I saw the game against Oak Hills, and they looked pretty good for about a half, and then Oak Hills just kind of did what Oak Hills does and steamrolled them in the second half, so you kind of have to wonder, like, what the state of the program is there. But, you know, Hesperia's proven to be a pretty good team, especially, you know, Eddie Gleason. Like, who would have ever thought Eddie Gleason, and that's no offense to him, but, you know, you lose Austin Williams, and it's like, the team has to get worse. Yeah. Like this, like Austin Williams is a really, really good quarterback.
Well, they also had Chris Kermel, who basically had Velcro for hands last year. Yeah. Anything thrown in
Velcro
his direction
for hands
was...
and moon shoes.
Yeah, exactly. He also lost. I mean, they lost a lot of kids. I mean, I believe this is a very young team to begin with. A lot of juniors on the team. I mean, Gary Scott, I know, is a senior at receiver. But other than that, I mean, it's just defensively they're a young team, and you know,
and whenever I went out to their preseason stuff, you know, Topi told me they're gonna be doing a spread option sort of thing, and I kind of figured like, oh, they'll be mostly stuck to running the ball. And Eddie Gleason was hurt that day, so I didn't think I really saw him throw a lot of passes. Maybe that influenced my perception. I figured, like, I mean, he can't have as good of an arm as, you know, Austin Williams and all that. And I actually haven't gotten to really see him play that much this year. I just saw him in that Victor game, which he went out with. He was hurt in the second half. But, yeah, I mean, clearly a pretty good passer. He can do a lot more than just run the ball. I mean, yeah. I don't know if he's developed a lot in the last couple months or if they were being humble about it or what, but clearly a big proponent in that team, you know, just you know, getting them to where they want to go and everything.
Yeah, definitely. And J.J. Lewis, I mean, you know, has proven to be another weapon for them in the late weeks here. I mean, he had that big week against Sultana, and, you know, that's obviously opened up options there.
Yeah, I mean, they had a stumble earlier in the year, back-to-back weeks, so they beat Victor, and that's when they lost Eddie Gleason to a concussion. And then I think they also had some offensive line injuries and some things like that. And so then the next week, I believe they played Nora Vista and got pretty well blown out in that. Although I think they played decent, but Nora Vista was just sort of a better team than they were, especially that day. And then they played Silverado, and they didn't score any. They were shut out, and they didn't have anything going. Gleason also missed that game. Yeah. And ever since, you know, they moved the ball. They score points, and you saw them put up tons of points on last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, early on I thought, yeah, you know, maybe they could be good, and then all of a sudden, you know, even with the injuries, you're like, well, okay, maybe you know, they lost a lot of guys. Maybe they're going to be that fourth, fifth place team in the MRL. But no, they pulled out wins, close wins against Burroughs. They pulled out close wins again. I mean, they beat Burroughs on a last second touchdown. I don't know if they beat. Did they beat Apple Valley on a last second touchdown as well? So they believe they won on a late touchdown against La Sierra in a back and forth game last year. So you know, if anything, they can score points, and I guess they can make stops and when they need to.
They can run a 2-minute offense, even though they're not running the hurry up spread stuff anymore, at least exclusively. Like maybe some of those lessons have stuck with them. So you're a proponent of thinking that Hesperia is not just one and done in this playoffs, or well, one win and then done.
No, I give them a very good shot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just not sold on Palm Springs. I mean, I kind of felt a little bit better a few weeks ago, but I mean, I don't know. I guess it's, you know, when your league champion nearly loses to Apple Valley. No offense to Apple Valley, but I mean, at times, I mean, Apple Valley played competitive games against Serrano and Oaks, so it's not like they're a bad team or anything like that. But when the number one team is nearly upset by the number 16 team, and that number one team beat the number Palm Springs for the league championship, I just kind of have my doubts. I heard
that La Quinta was missing quite a few players due to injuries, too.
Oh, that would make sense, too. But, you know, I mean, Palm Springs is a good team. They've had a lot of success. But, I mean, this is a game that I think Hesperia can win still. I mean,
yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, kudos to that program if they can pull it out. That's a stellar year for a team that we thought was probably on, not like plummeting, but, you know, on the downswing. You know, they just had a couple of really good years. And
well, here's something else to chew on here. Outside of Serrano right now, I believe none of those other five. Well, no, wait, I take that back. Burroughs is in their league now, so that kind of changes things. But besides Burroughs and Serrano, the three Hesperia schools in Apple Valley have never been past the second round. So if they can possibly get three teams past the second round, that would be definitely a banner year for that league.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, like we said earlier, they would face winner of Oak Hill with Silverado.
And, you know, who knows? I mean, second time around, I mean, you know, they lost 40-0. And
yeah, if we're continuing to hark back to 2008, Barstow got shredded in the regular season against Silverado. And then in the playoffs, they were losing pretty big. I don't remember what it was. It was at least two touchdowns, maybe.
Oh, well, I forgot about that.
Okay. And then they came back and ended up winning that game, so...
Double Wing was unstoppable with that.
Actually, they spread it out.
Really?
Yeah, in the second half, they had to spread it out, and it was actually, you know, one of the times that it worked for them. They did well with it.
You know, that's something actually in that Serrano-Oak Hills game, when Serrano actually spread it out in the second half against Oak, they actually had some success there, going to Tanner Cornell and whatnot and everything, but...
All right, well, that's the Eastern Division, or at least the teams that are left from our coverage area.
Sure.
And now we have what we've been building up to the entire time.
That's right. CJ's opportunity. Those mighty Trojans, or actually we like to make fun of the Tojans because in our make fun of ourselves back in the a few years ago when we did our tab.
Many moons ago,
yes,
really.
Many moons ago. I think it was like 2007, 2008, if you want to... If you keep those around and you're looking through and...
It was at least 2006,
I think. one of our staffers who came on in the middle of the season pointed out that we misspelled Trojans as Tojans, and it was kind of funny that year. We stayed up till like 4 o'clock and proofed that thing. Stayed here till 4 o'clock in the morning proofing that section and everything like that. So we're like, but you know,
always use more copy editors.
Sure, definitely fresh eyes. But yeah, Silver Valley. This could be possibly their best season. They're in the second round for the first time. We go back to 2008, that mythical, magical season.
We really should do a podcast just about the 2008 season.
There must be other things from 2008 that we can bring up. That was also, was that the last year that Barstow won a state title as well in cross country? I believe so. 2008, what else happened in 2008? Was that a...
the election year.
That's right, Barack got into office. 2008, my Sacramento Kings were really bad. How about the Penguins?
They must have been pretty good at that point, right? So
probably
2008. So we can get into it. I don't know. Yeah, but I think they were. So I think 2008. So they made it to the Stanley Cup Final. In 2009, they made it to the Stanley Cup Final and won.
Okay, so. Not bad.
So yeah, pretty good times for everybody except for the Sacramento Kings, apparently.
Yes, they were a very bad team. I think actually I think the 2007-2008 season, I believe, they won less than 20 games for the first time in a season. And they didn't come away with the number one pick. So when you're really bad and you have the worst record in the league, you're not guaranteed. So don't believe the tanking is always the best method. You might stab you in the back afterwards.
Yeah. So what have you come to love about these... these Silver Valley Trojans.
Well, I think that they're an athletic team. They've got good size on the offensive line. Britton Blackman was a kid who transferred in. His family moved actually back in the... Well, his dad got transferred back to Fort Irwin. And he's been a big surprise. Brian...
And do we have a story running about him this week?
We will have one eventually about him. He played 3 years on for a German Air Force, for a team that played on an Air Force base in Germany, which is that's an interesting story in itself. But
yeah, so I'll have to update you guys whenever that's coming out. Because even if you're, I mean, we, you know, we're journalists. We like telling stories. So
sure.
Even if you're not a big Silver Valley fan. Sounds pretty interesting to me. CJ's got me hooked. I'm ready to read it.
They wear their Desert Swarm hats, which I kind of like. They're taking on the theme of that. You know, John Stewart has turned that program around. I mean, granted, a lot of these kids are seniors this year that are standout players, and you know, the big issue, they have a standout player, RJ Henry, who I believe plays corner, and I think he's get some carries at running back. I forget what position he plays on offense, but you know, he's one of those military kids who's sleeping on a couch right now while his parents were transferred somewhere else, and after the season he'll be gone. He's only a sophomore, and he'd be their future quarterback if he was sticking around. Wow. And so they get a lot of those kids that are kind of coming in and out, but with this group, John Stewart has meshed them together, and they're going to be facing the toughest team that they faced all year in Saddleback Valley Christian.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the, you know, the basics for Saddleback, they look like a very talented team. But, you know, Silver Valley's handled talented teams so far, and
sure,
they have the game at home, so that's always a plus, especially whenever you have to make them drive all the way deep into the desert.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, they're, first of all, you know, you get to play Silver Valley. I mean, you've probably never heard of that school because they don't really go to the postseason too often. And then secondly, you're like, Yermo, where is that? And so the kids, I'm sure, spent like much of the early week or maybe Sunday
looking that up.
It's somewhere in Orange County. And
yeah, that's a long drive.
Yes, it is. And especially on Friday with that Cajon Pass traffic, that Rancho Cucamonga traffic that backs up on the 15. I believe they'd take the 15, but who knows? Maybe they'd go around
Must they have a helicopter or private jet that they're planning on using?
That might be nice, but...
I mean, I know some of these private schools are pretty swanky and all, but...
Sure.
Whew, they've got private private planes.
Maybe they could pick me up. I'll have my thumb out by my house, and they can pick me up. Maybe they'll see me from miles and miles away. Yeah, I mean, if they can win this, I mean, Silver Valley in the semifinals, I mean, yikes. I mean, we're only a few years removed from one of the worst programs in California here.
Yeah.
It's tough to win out there. It's a small town, and then you get the...
Lots of turnover
with that base right there. I mean, it's a training base, so people are in and out of that base like no other. They're there for like 3 months, and then... Like, hey, what happened to that kid? His parents got transferred, so. Or his dad got transferred, so. I like Silver Valley in this game. I'm not going to lie.
I think I would give them a slight edge just based on being home. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think that home field advantage in Silver Valley is pretty good themselves, so.
You know, if it's windy, cold... I definitely give the advantage, I believe, to any desert team. I mean, whether they actually win or not, I think that's a bit of an advantage if it's, against an Orange County team that normally doesn't get to experience those the windy, high desert conditions and everything like that. But,
what a bunch of babies.
Exactly. Doesn't get much better easier for Silver Valley, obviously, for anyone. Not. They're going to have to play... More than likely, St. Margaret's, who's also undefeated on the season, and I believe has gone to it, one of those small school state bowls in the past.
So. All right, so that's all the local football action. Any final thoughts about the Friday action that's going to be coming up?
Are you ready for some football? A Friday night party.
You weren't telling me it was a party at the beginning of this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to sell short and... go crazy later on. Built the energy up. Talking about it fired me up, so.
All right.
Let's do this. Maybe I'll put on the pads and go, well, wait, what am I saying? Never mind.
Put on a warm jacket. That'll be good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be good enough. It's going to be cold out there. So.
Yeah, so also going on this weekend, we'll have CIF Southern Section Finals for Cross Country. You'll be out at that. Bright and early Saturday morning out at Mount SAC.
That is the plan.
And then later on in the day, and not too late.
Later on in the morning.
Yeah, well, later on in the morning, just an hour or two later, you'll be out at AAE and Lake Arrowhead Christian, their Division 5A volleyball final.
Hey, Cross Valley League has shown to be a power in that 5A, at least this year. I mean,
Yeah. I mean, they were all so highly ranked throughout the season. I mean, you kind of got the sense that the league was pretty strong, but... Maybe because they all kept beating each other, that affected their ranking. And I can't remember if anybody ever. I don't think anybody ever had the number one spot.
No, I think University Prep might have been number two or number three.
Yeah, I think
three,
like Hesperia Christian may have been not their CVL, but still local area.
Excelsior was up there at times, various times. I mean, they ended up as the number three seed, so obviously they ended up seeded. And, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, AAE is a bigger school than Lake Arrowhead Christian, but, I mean, the third-place team makes the finals, which just shows the depth of that league there.
Yeah, I mean, especially you saw midseason, like, all those teams beating each other up, so.
Yeah, this is the first time that I think a team has made the section finals, I think, since Hesperia Christian did it in the early 2000s. I think they went, like, 3 years in a row or 3 out of 4 years or something like that.
Yeah. Would have been fun to see two teams from the area.
Yeah, it'd be...
In the championship match.
I wonder if, last year we had the softball final between the Academy of Careers and Exploration and University Prep. I wonder if you could convince CIF to actually just hold that game up here and, you could meet one of the ADs halfway in between the CIF office and drop off the trophy and then the trophy.
Thanks, CIF.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, should be interesting there. I mean, if AAE wins, I believe they would get an. I could be wrong about this, but if they win, they probably get. I believe they get an automatic berth into the state playoffs. If they lose,
I think I think Victor Valley Christian, whenever they were good just a couple of years ago, I think they made it all the way to the finals, or at least the semifinals.
Yeah, they made it to the semis. Granite Hill is actually, I think this might go back to 2008 as well.
Jeez.
Actually, I'm not sure on the year there. It was 2008 or 2009. Granite Hills went to the semifinals, and Hesperia Christian went to the semis in 2005. And did Serrano go to the semis a couple of years ago, or did they just go to the quarters? Because maybe just the quarters.
I think just the quarters, but I don't know.
Not bad, but yeah, if they win this match, I think they'll probably get a berth into the state playoffs. If they lose, they might have a chance, but it depends on how many small schools from the section actually, made the playoffs and how they did. There are small schools that are higher up, like Windward, which I'm not sure what division they are now, but. I think they're playing like 2A or something like that. So.
Yeah, they played Victor Valley last year in the playoffs, so that's what, 3A?
Something like that. And Village Christian.
Or 3AA? One of those.
Village Christian plays like 2AA or something like that. And I don't think, I could be wrong on this, but I think they have a small enrollment too. And there's obviously other small schools still in the playoffs in 5AA, and I think there's one or two small schools in Division 4.
So, anyway, if you happen to see CJ out at one of those two events on Saturday morning, you should probably say hi and get him a coffee.
Well, that would be very nice. I'll get you a donut, maybe. I don't know.
All right. But yeah, you can also follow. If you don't see us in person, you can follow along on for all the action at DP Sports, the main account, obviously. CJ will be tweeting from @DP_CJ. On Friday night, I'll be out at the Oak Hills and Silverado game, or Silverado and Oak Hills, if you want the correct location sort of implied in there. @DP_MattPeters. And, yeah, should be a good old time. Any other thoughts about this coming up to the end of the fall season?
Well, we know that we'll have a semifinalist next week, at least. We'll have one game to cover.
Yeah, sure will. Last year, that was not the case, so...
No. Unless you count Lucerne Valley, but they went out the eight-man is the same week as the second round, so... But yeah, an 11-man, and we didn't have a semifinal, so... Be something a little bit different. We'll be working through the Turkey Day.
Yep. Well, I think that should about do it. That's a lot of information for what was supposed to be a short podcast. These things never are. So if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. If you haven't, then you probably just aren't related to us, because I think only our families could stand to listen to us for this long.
And I think my parents, my sisters, and my wife probably shut me out 2 minutes into it.
Tuned out a long time ago.
Click. They said... Although, maybe my daughter hears my voice, and who knows what the heck is going on.
So, yeah, tweet us, talk to us in person, whatever you choose, please, whatever. And we will see you guys out at those games. Take care.
Stay warm. Oh, that too.